We've heard from God's word, and particularly in the first few verses of Luke's gospel, the birth of Jesus Christ. It describes the birth of Jesus Christ, which really was anonymous at first. Nobody really knew what was going on. If anyone had heard that baby cry, they would have just thought, well, just another baby being born, just another young couple. No one, to begin with, really understood what was going on. However, it didn't take very long, as we heard in those passages that were read. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in some fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared. An angel appeared, first of all, a single angel, and they were terrified. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. For today in the city of David, there's been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger." And of course, the question is, who is the baby in Bethlehem born so anonymously? Who is this child who established the world's calendars? Who is this child who's probably more widely known than any other child that's ever been born? Who is this child whose life and work has impacted more people than any other influential people throughout history? This child who also determines the eternal destiny of every human being who's ever been born. And we're told by the angel three things. He's a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Savior who is Christ the Lord. So to begin with, he's a Savior. Which leads to the question, what's he saving us from then? I mean, saved is a synonym for rescued or delivered. It implies some kind of threatening condition, some kind of dangerous condition, desperate condition in which we need to be rescued from. So what is it? What is God rescuing us, saving us from? From what do we need to be rescued? Well, we need to be rescued from God, actually. Right back in the garden, Adam and Eve sinned, broke the relationship with God. And from that moment on, we have been separated from God. We need to be rescued from that. We need to be restored back into a relationship with God. That's what we need to be saved from, the wrath of God. That's what the angel tells us in Luke. And that's why Jesus is a Savior. He saves us. He will save his people from their sins. Sin is just another way to, the Bible uses that word to describe not doing what God says. Basically, it's not being obedient to God. It's not accepting what God says. It's not doing what God says. It's separating yourself from God. That's why we need to be saved. And that's why we have to accept him as Jesus. Accepting him as Lord and Savior is then saying, I accept that you are Lord, that you say and I obey, and that you are Savior, and I live my life from that moment on, in obedience to your word, the Bible. That's the good news. Which leads us to the question, who then is this child? Who is this Savior who saves us? This separation from God that is restored. Well, we're also told he is Christ and he is Lord. Christ and Lord. An amazingly exalted title for a baby that's born in such humble circumstances. It would have been quite hard to convince anyone at the time that these two teenagers, they were very young, Joseph and Mary, with this little baby, this baby was actually the anointed one. That's what Christ means. It's the same word as Messiah, Christ, anointed one, and Lord. I mean, the baby didn't look particularly remarkable, but he is Christ. He is Lord. First of all, the word Christ, it's the same, as I say, as Messiah. It actually means anointed one. So this child is an anointed one. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 25 to 26, there's a prophecy concerning the Messiah. And it says in verse 25 and 26, he is the Messiah, he is the anointed one. The Hebrew word for Messiah is basically anointed one. Christos is the New Testament word. What does that mean, the anointed one then? Well, first of all, kings were anointed. The Messiah was anointed because he is a king. Kings were always anointed. He would sit, we're told, on David's throne. In other words, he's a descendant of David. David was a king. And he would establish a throne, the Messiah, who would reign forever and ever. It's going to be an eternal throne. He is an eternal king. So this indicates that this anointed one is God's king. But also priests were anointed, particularly the high priest. Now priests, they were the ones who mediated between God and people. So this Messiah is the anointed one. Not only is he a king, but he is a priest. He is one who mediates between God and man. He is the mediator between God and man. He is the one who brought us back into the relationship. As well as that, prophets were also anointed. And this baby is certainly a prophet. A prophet is basically a preacher, somebody who tells you what God says, somebody who is a spokesman for God. God wants to say something. He won't say it directly to you. He'll say it through a prophet, through a preacher. And Jesus Christ, the anointed one, is the greatest of all prophets, the greatest preacher, the one who speaks literally the words of God. So, anointed sums all of that up. He is a king. He fulfills the Davidic promise. He is a high priest. He mediates between God and man. He is a prophet. He tells you what God says. And then it says, as well as that, he's Lord. What does that mean? Well, Lord means he's in charge. It's a term of leadership, authority. But with Jesus, it's way beyond that, because it's a capital L for Lord. He is Christ the Lord. It's not some human designation. It's a divine designation. In other words, to say he's Lord is to say he's God. So he's not just a human who mediates between God and man. He's not just a king, a human king, but he's actually God. To say Jesus is Lord is to say he's God. Actually tells us in Romans 10 verse 9, unless you confess that Jesus is Lord, you can't be saved. You're not a Christian. What does it mean to confess him as Lord? Well, it's to say he is God and I will do as he says. And I do sometimes sin. I do sometimes things I shouldn't do. I don't do the things I should do. But when I do, I say sorry and I go to him and he forgives me. But I accept that he is Lord. He is in charge. In other words, what he says goes. That's what it means to say he's a Lord. He is the Lord. So he is anointed king, priest, prophet of God, God himself. That's why we heard in that reading in Isaiah 9, verse 6, a child is born, a son is given, and tells us he's human, but he's also given, so he's divine, he's a God. His name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There's no question then of who he is. He's the anointed one, the Savior, prophet, priest, king, and actually God. Anything less than that is not Christianity. That is what it means to accept him for who he really is. And then we get an unusual statement next, because the angel says, you're going to find this baby, he'll be wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. I mean, the first bit of that, yeah, okay, baby wrapped in cloths, that's obvious. Of course he's going to be wrapped in cloths, but he's going to be lying in a manger. That was not normal. You don't put babies in animal feeding troughs, unless you really have to, because there's nowhere else to put him. And that's where they were. There wasn't nowhere else. He had to be put in an animal feeding trough. So that's the difference with this baby. If the shepherds are out going looking for a baby, I don't know how many babies would have been born in Bethlehem at that time. Not many. It's a small place, but there would have been one or two, perhaps. But they would have easily found him, because this baby was different to all the other babies. He's in an animal feeding trough. This king, this savior, this priest, this prophet, this God himself is in a feeding trough. Which leads us to the next point. Why did he come to save us? He came to save us. We've found that out. What was the purpose? We see that in verse 13. Suddenly, there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts. So the first angel comes, he announces it, and then suddenly there's a multitude of angels. And they're saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace amongst men with whom he is pleased. Now that's the highest point of all thought and action, the highest of truths, giving God glory. That's why we were actually created. That's the problem. When we were separated from God, we couldn't give him the glory anymore. Because the highest thing that we can do is to give him glory. And the good news is, we're saved in order that we can do what we were created to do in the first place. Give him glory. That's the ultimate purpose of everything that exists to glorify God. So the angel's giving that message. He's saying, now you can do what you were meant to do in the first place, what you created to do. It's going to be restored because of Jesus. And that's why there's suddenly a host of angels. What are they doing? They're doing what they're saying you can now do. They're giving God glory. They were praising God. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, and peace amongst men with whom he's pleased. They're praising God for the fact that now humans can praise God because of who Jesus is. You see, the angels knew exactly who he was. They knew him when he was in heaven. They knew before the incarnation. They knew of his glory. They knew of his riches. They knew of his majesty. They were fully aware of why humans couldn't glorify him anymore. They fully understood that God providing a way for them to do that again. They knew all the prophecies in the Old Testament. They understood the sacrificial system of the Old Testament. They knew that all the animals didn't really take away sin. They just were a picture of the once for all sacrifice. And all these angels knew that God would not spare his own son, but he would go to a cross. Because at Christmas, yes, we think of the baby, but we have to remember that baby grew to be a man and he went to a cross. That's why he came. So all these angels, they understood exactly why this baby was born. That's why they're praising God. They were seeing God's grace on display. And they were thanking God for that. This peace, this salvation peace. Not just a comfort of the mind or a rest of the spirit, but salvation. Restoring the relationship with God that was broken in Eden. All restored through Jesus. So that's why they're giving glory to God. And then it ends with an interesting statement, with whom he is pleased. That can be a bit misleading, because you might think, well, that means that he's going to give salvation. He's going to restore the relationship to the people who were in it. But that's not what it says. The Greek literally says, people of his good pleasure. So it's not people that have earned it. There's nothing you can do to earn it. It's given because of God's good pleasure. Not rejoicing and glorifying God because of what people have done. They're glorifying God because of what he has done. Glorifying God because nobody really deserves it, and yet he offers it anyway. So the angels are praising God because he's chosen to delight to restore the relationship with him again through Jesus. For all those who accept Jesus for who he really is, Lord and Saviour, and then live for him in obedience to his word, they are then what we call Christians, and they are people who have had that relationship with God restored. In other words, the purpose of Christmas is that God is glorified when an individual accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, because that's why he came in the first place. That's why he was born as a baby. That's why he grew to be a man. That's why he went to a cross and died and rose again on the third day and then ascended into heaven with a promise that one day he will return. He's basically saying, accept me for who I am. You can be restored back to God. And that's the Christmas message. Let's come to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for that message that is Christmas. Yes, there is a baby in a manger, but there's also a man on a cross, Jesus Christ. But he didn't die permanently. He did die. But on the third day, he rose again and ascended into heaven. He gives us his righteousness, his perfection. He takes away our sin. We thank you for that relationship that we now have with you, all because of Jesus, all because of Christmas, all because of you. Thank you, Father. Amen.